of home were burning brightly when I left so long ago.
You're listening to Can't Do Nothing With Love, an award-winning short story collection written and read by Ellen Morris Pruitt. Today's episode features Drunk at the Foodland Again. She's dressed like Little Debbie. Cowboy hat, checkered shirt, fringed boots. Except she's got guns at her hips, and she's not selling sweet cakes. She's pushing cocktail wiener sausages, frying them up in an electric skillet, then coating them in barbecue sauce. The smell is hanging in the store like a bright red haze. Usually Mr. W. takes care of things around here and doesn't let them push food that smells up his store. But the Wiener Company said the promo was essential. What could be so essential about introducing cocktail sausages to North Alabama? I don't know. Technically, everyone in North Alabama already knows what a cocktail wiener sausage tastes like. Mr. W. started out as a food pusher himself. He was Pooh Bear, offering honey on a graham cracker, a fake honey pot strapped to his wrist. Mr. W. says it was an entry-level job, which means you're supposed to do something else with it. Then he looks at me like, "What are you doing with your entry-level job, son?" I try to picture him as an entry-level Pooh Bear. Mr. W. handing out crackers but not saying a word, because the bear's mouth is sewn shut. I can't see it, Mr. W. not saying a word. He wouldn't last 5 minutes before he'd be telling someone to go check the stock in rice and pasta because a bag of rice was lying on the pasta shelf. Customers do that all the time. You can tell what they're thinking. Oh, maybe I'd rather have spaghetti. And they lay the rice bag down on the pasta shelf. I think Mr. W. should leave the rice bag right there for the next person who changes her mind in the other direction. Oh, I'd rather have rice. But no one cares what the stock boy thinks. I check my watch. Cody and Jody are late. At least Cody is. Mr. W. staggers our shifts now because he never could get all three of us here on time. "It's for your own good, son," he says to me, then adds, "It's better than all three of you being late at once anyway." The way I see it, we're all just late individually at the times he's technically now calling being on time. Except for me. I'm always on time because I got the early shift. Starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What else is there to do at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Actually, I lost a bet with Cody at Ivy's bar and had to give him my shift. Mr. W. said it was fine if we switched. He could keep a better eye on me that way. Keep an eye on you, my mom humphs. She doesn't know how hard Mr. W. tries. He even placed me with Back the Butcher for a while. I prefer produce, where the real food is, but Mr. W. says you can't do just produce anymore. Not like when he was coming along. Corporate honchos squeeze him harder every year, but he uses his discretion when he can. Once, when Mac the Butcher sliced off the tip of his ring finger, Mr. W. hired Mac's life partner, the little guy with the red hair, who permed it himself. The little dude couldn't slice meat worth shit, but Mr. W. paid him to stand behind the counter until Mac showed back up. Produce doesn't work that way because there's no profit in bananas. Produce is part of Mr. W.'s job now. The store manager is the produce manager. Only Stella in bakery has her own department. Well, and Mac the Butcher, I guess. But my mom doesn't know anything about that, the technicals of my job. She's got her hands full with the black hole. Sometimes I am the black hole. Sometimes it's the water heater. This week, it was the tire on the piece of shit Nova. Blown off at the rim, so there was no fixing it, and the donut already on the right front. So there goes her paycheck and mine, slurped down the Nova black hole so she can get to work. The wiener sausage smell is making me hungry. That's the problem with working in a grocery store. You see this food and all of a sudden it hits you what it tastes like and you want some so bad. I'll be in the meat section, say, and I'll spy the bacon. All of a sudden I can taste a BLT in my mouth. The toasted bread, the wilted lettuce, the hot bacon melting the mayo a little. The way my mom used to make them on Saturday mornings, when my dad was still around. Back then, it was BLTs for breakfast instead of cold cereal all the time. Back before my mom started working Saturday mornings. Back when the house smelled good, like salty bacon frying in the pan, crisping up, sizzling. It's overwhelming, and worse when you're drunk. Just now, stacking the pickles in a pyramid. Food companies are big on having their products stacked in pyramids. I wanted a pickle so bad. The knobs on the pickle skin that worrywart your tongue, the clean, vinegary taste, the way the juice makes the back of your mouth draw up as it slips down. Sometimes, if Cody and Jody and I've been at Ivy's bar before work, I'll screw open the pickle lid, crunch into a pickle, a clean bite, no teeth marks, and slide the pickle back in the jar. Sometimes I eat the whole pickle. Billy Bostiff, who worked out back on the loading dock, used to hang out with us at Ivy's, too. He ate the pickled eggs bobbing in a jar on the counter. Then he got high on meth and forgot to put on the brakes, so that he drove his piece of shit Chevy through the front window of the store, and Mr. W. fired him. The smell of wiener sausage is driving me crazy. I wipe my hands on my apron and stand up, a little wobbly on my feet, more from lightheadedness than anything else. Jody and Cody never showed up at Ivy's bar this afternoon, and I couldn't stand sitting there by myself. The bar smelling like rain on wet wood, the pickled eggs wobbling in the jar, calling my name, me with no money to speak of. So it was just one or two sneaked shots on my own, and get down to work. Little Debbie's sausage table is set up in produce beside the banana display with the hairy coconuts and fake tinsel grass. Little Debbie is arranging the wiener sausages on a paper towel next to an empty, open-range sausage jar. Her skillet is speckled with beaded-up grease and splotches of barbecue sauce. She's using a fork and lining up the sausages in a neat row. Her guns are in a holster, the guns shiny gold. Like if you peeled back the gold, they'd be chocolate inside, except hollow, probably. Thin and hollow like the bunnies at Easter. "Can I have one?" I ask, pointing at the wieners. Little Debbie looks up to see where I'm standing, looming over her. Beanpole, Mr. W. calls me, because of being tall and thin and liking produce. Little Debbie gives me the once-over, pausing in my red and white striped apron. She's reading the part that spells out Foodland, in the shape of a globe, spewing out fruits and vegetables, and a loaf of bread. "Wieners are for customers," she says. Now that I'm up close, I can tell she's way too old to be Little Debbie. The skin on her face is wrinkled, like a crumpled piece of paper that's been smoothed out, full of fine lines. She's too old to be working still, even. She's more like a grandmother, except for the guns. "I'm a customer," I tell her, "but it'll be hard to back this up because I don't think technically eating pickles from the jar counts me as a customer, even though customers steal food and gobble it up all the time." "A real customer," she says, standing there in her fake cowboy hat and fake golden guns. "A fake, old, tired Little Debbie." It's too late for me to take off my apron. If I hadn't taken the two or three shots from the bottle, I might have thought of that earlier. No matter. I stroll over to the line of checkouts, grabbing a pack of gum from the rack. I'd rather have a can of soup, because I never get to eat soup, because you can't open a can of soup and put it back on the shelf. Not like peanut butter. Dip out a fingerful and smooth over the hole, working your knuckle to leave the little dollop in place. But soup costs 69 cents plus tax, and all I've got is 2 quarters I found on the floorboard of the piece of shit Nova before we gave it to the tire man. I stop at Mary's register. Mary calls me the Meister, because she saw Cody and Jody and me doing Jägermeister at Ivy's one time. Technically, Cody and Jody were doing shots at the shipwrecked bar, and I was licking the shot glasses with them passing me a full one under the bar every once in a while. They're legal. I'm only 18. I've been working at the Foodland since I was 14. My dad signed a work waiver. My mom didn't want me working, wanted me to concentrate on school. But she didn't have any money, so what could she say? Mr. W. says I used to be a good worker. Used to be, as I say, giving him some of my mom's wisdom. Don't make the honey. He thinks it's a cheap shot at his Pooh Bear origins in the food business, and huffs off. Mary smiles at me. I flick my bangs out of my eyes, cool-like. Plus, I want to see. Mary never wears anything but a tank top underneath her apron. When she's standing behind the register, it makes her look like she's naked except for the apron. Mr. W. can't figure out how to say anything to her about the tank top. He just acts nervous around her. But she's here on time, so he doesn't mind too much. Plus, she looks like dynamite. "Hey, Arnie." Mary eyes the pink bubble gum in my hand. "You shopping for your mom?" I sit the gum on the belt. "I need a receipt." "A receipt?" "And a bag." She's looking at me steady, which makes me feel like I'm tilting. I lay my palm on the conveyor belt, nonchalant. Except Mary hasn't turned the belt off and it whips me around in a circle. I sail my hand through the air, then steady myself on the love your neighbor, feed the need, coupon box in front of her register, acting like I intended to do that. By the time I get back to facing her, she's holding my bag in the air, ready for me to be off. My encounters with Mary never turn out well, but what does? I hand over my grimy quarters. Mary clinks them into the register drawer. When she hands me my pennies, I tell her to drop them in the feed the need box. That makes her smile. A win-win for me. To better my odds with little Debbie, I slip my apron over my head and fold it in two. In greeting cards, I slide the folded apron onto the top shelf, where funky things like green styrofoam mushrooms sit all year round. I smooth down my hair and approach little Debbie, bag and receipt in hand, just as Cody and Jody zoom down the aisle. Technically, they don't zoom. It's those baby steps they take that makes it look like zooming. Quick, quick. Boneheaded, Mr. W. calls them, but the name calling doesn't slow them down. Zoom, zoom, up the coffee aisle, zoom around the donut display. Wherever you see Cody, there's Jody. The real rain is clicking on in produce. The twins are late. Mr. W. is trotting right behind to tell them they're late, which they already know, so they never turn around. The door to the stockroom swings shut behind them. Boys, I say, and smile at little Debbie. You back? She asks, irritated, even though the sausages on her paper towel look suspiciously like the same sausages there last time I checked. Customer, I say, and raise my bag. It dangles from my index finger, swinging free. She narrows her eyes, making me think it may be time to whip out my receipt. But no, she's stabbing a cocktail wiener with her fork, lifting it into the air, skewered like some heathen baby on the spit. This is the way she serves real customers? What happened to your apron? It's Mr. W., his brow all wrinkled. What's going on? Spilled ketchup on it, I say. It's soaking in the back. He looks from me to little Debbie. Are you eating wieners, son? We have 12 cartons of tuna in the back needs to be shelved. I didn't want to serve him, no sir. Little Debbie is shaking her head, even though both Mr. W. and I can see the skewered wiener on the end of her fork. But he had a purchase, a customer. With receipt, I add. Receipt, she says. Mr. W. hates taking sides. That, my mom says, is why he's still the manager of the smallest food land in town. I don't see what it matters, the size of the store. It's got your fruits and produce, meats and meats, cakes and cookies and bakery, the aisles bulging with everything else in between. You won't go lacking for a maraschino cherry here. Maybe a wiener sausage. If you will excuse us, Mr. W. says to little Debbie, who has her finger against the wiener sausage. She's shoving it off the skewer. Now Mr. W.'s got me by the arm, leading me away from little Debbie, who's following us as we go. I want to shake off his hand, but that seems rude. So I adjust my shoulder, kind of hinting for him to quit manhandling me. My bangs drift into my eyes, and I can't see anything for a minute. The three or four shots are settling in my stomach, and I'm afraid if I flip my head, I'll barf. Then I remember my left hand and ease my bangs from my view. Cody and Jody are zooming up, tying on their aprons, their hands hidden behind their backs, looking all businesslike. I can just feel it coming, a long, technical discussion about cartons of tuna and pricing cat food and just who put the life-sized cutout of the Tampax tampon at the head of aisle two. It's overwhelming. I sink onto the floor, flop into a cross-legged jumble. Mary walks by. The frayed cuff of her jeans stops beside my leg. I don't want to tilt my head to look up. I want her to kneel next to me, hug me around the shoulder. I want her to give me a hot dog, all beef, with yellow mustard and ketchup and maybe chili cheese, the bun soft and squishy in my teeth, the hot dog juice, the chili dribbling down my chin. She kneels. But she doesn't have a hot dog. Arnie, are you okay? He's drunk, Mr. W. says, his words showering me like misting rain, sprinkling but not really wetting. Drunk doesn't make you white as a sheet. Mary's hand rests on my shoulder, steadying me. He's gonna barf. It's Cody or Jody. I don't want to look up to tell which one, because whoever it is, he's right. I need a sausage, I say. That makes little Debbie yelp, like all of this is her fault now. and Mary leans in to study my face, puzzling a frown at me. But Cody has me underneath one arm, and Jody has the other, and they are lifting me up and off the floor while I'm telling them the rest of it. And a powdered donut. Take one from the back of the box. No one ever checks their donuts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. A swipe of potato salad shining through the plastic lid. Dig it out. Squish the lid back on. Hush, Mary whispers. They're all crowded around me, Cody and Jody and Mary, like a wall. Then I'm in the little room with the leaky toilet, and it feels so good to let loose. But all that comes out is a thin stream of gruely spit, bright red. He's bleeding, Mary exclaims. Blood doesn't smell like that, Cody says. I rest my cheek on the toilet seat, cool, while the stickiness dries on my chin. Cough syrup, Mr. W. says, which is why I admire Mr. W. He knows his products. I'm tempted to tell him about the plastic cup that hides underneath the cap, the swirl of your tongue around the edges to clean out all the pink syrup, how even cough syrup will do when Cody and Jody can't get to Ivy's to treat you to a drink, and your stomach is growling so bad, who can forget your woes with all that commotion going on deep inside of you? But throwing up must be restoring me, because I realize this is not something Mr. W. would want to hear. Let me in there. There's pushing and shoving, and the mass of people hanging inside the tiny room rearranges itself. And lo and behold, I smell it again. The heavenly scent of frying wiener sausage. Give me that. Little Debbie lifts my chin. Here. She shoves a wiener sausage into my mouth. She's holding the skillet in her hand, the cord trailing behind her. Inside the skillet, plump sausages gleam. The boy is starving to death, and you people let him loll on this toilet lid, talking nonsense. I remember to chew, and the sausage tastes so good. Tangy barbecue, and the skin rubbery with flaky meat underneath. She pops in another one, and I feel like a dog getting treats. But I'm not going to complain, not if someone is feeding me free food. Which reminds me of the confessions I made while under the influence. Talking nonsense, they'll think. Maybe. Little Debbie, I thank you. I'm using my fingers to take the sausages now, sitting up and feeling a world better. That stuffy nose hit me hard. Overdid it on the coffee syrup. Makes me delirious. Ask my mom. You want us asking your mom, son? Mr. W. has that look on his face that says, I know more than I'm saying, and it's for your own good I'm not saying it. With the vomiting over, Cody and Jody have skedaddled off to more exciting things. Mary's shift is done. She's walking away, slipping her apron over her head, her black hair hidden behind the Foodland globe. But she stops, peers at me from beneath her arm. You okay? She asks. I nod, because now that she's asked, I am okay. She smiles and walks away. It's just Mr. W. and me, and little Debbie kneeling by my side. The leaky smell of the toilet settles around us. I wipe my chin, then wipe the stickiness on my jeans. Don't make my mom feel bad, Mr. W. She's doing the best she can. You're hugging the toilet, son, and I wouldn't call. But little Debbie interrupts him, staring me down. You know I wouldn't have said anything in front of the others, and Lord knows I understand hard. She purses her lips into a thin line. But you can't stop eating to make ends meet. She cuts Mr. W. a look and shakes her head. It just ain't right. Mr. W. stands silent for a minute. He shifts on his feet, rearranges the little scrap of hair on his head. You'll be full-time come May, he says. Surely we can go ahead and let you do some assistant manager work. The skillet of wieners sits on the tile floor. Only two shriveled sausages lie abandoned in the pan, all dried up, puny, and kind of disgusting. I can't believe that's what I wanted so bad. I like produce, I say, and nod my head, glad I've said it. Looks like you like wiener sausages to me, little Debbie says. Used to be a fan, I say, struggling to my feet. But little Debbie, you know what they say about used-to-bes. Produce it is. Mr. W. turns and walks off, then says soft-like, but where I can hear it, Lord help the grapes. I can hear Mary yakking with Cody and Jody in the stockroom, someone laughing. I'll be in charge now. Bruised peaches will be my responsibility, protecting the vulnerable grapes, the waxy squash. I'll get a green apron, like Mr. W.'s. My mom will be glad, for me, for the money. I sigh, turn to leave. An assistant manager can't be loitering in the toilet, letting people down, not getting the job done. Mr. W. wouldn't approve of that. But when I try to slip by little Debbie, she rocks back on her heels. "I want to know," she says. "What was that you called me earlier? Little what?" Her guns shine golden at her hips. But I don't say a word, because technically, she answers to me now. Thanks for listening. Drunk at the Foodland Again first appeared online at Southern Hum. To contribute to Feeding America, a charity devoted to ending hunger, please follow the link at can'tdonothingwithlove.wordpress.com or visit feedingamerica.org. Message me on Facebook at Can't Do Nothing With Love. Our music, The Lights of Home, was written and sung by Mr. Rob Pate. Rock on, Rob.
Oh, he's the light of home. Thank you. Thank you very much.